The fight against Daesh terrorists in Syria is seen as a noble endeavor when carried out by a US-led coalition, which has achieved questionable results. Yet when Hezbollah successfully fights the very same terrorists, it is belittled, sanctioned, declared a terrorist group itself by those very countries claiming to fight Daesh, and its commanders are targeted for assassination by Israel. The latest such Hezbollah official to be killed is Mustafa Badreddin. Suspicion has once again fallen on an Israel which has shown its intentions time and again by carrying out airstrikes in Syria, treating anti-Damascus militants in its hospitals, and assassinating Hezbollah commanders. In this edition of the debate, we discuss the assassination of Hezbollah's Mustafa Badreddin. Let me introduce now our guest for this debate. We're joined by activist and political commentator, Mr. Hazem Salem, who is joining us live from the Egyptian capital, Cairo. Mr. Salem, thanks very much for joining us. Who do you believe killed Mustafa Badreddin?
Well, actually, the indicators say that Israel did it. Israel has been sort of celebrating that. He was on the hit list of Israel for a very long time. He is not the first fighter from Hezbollah who is targeted by Israel in Syria. He joined Jihad Mughniyeh, Imad Mughniyeh, and Samir Qintar. So Israel is the one that has the upper hand. Israel wants to extend its outreach over Syria. The Israeli Prime Minister had a meeting in the Golan Heights while knowing that this is a recognized Syrian territory by the international resolutions. So Israel has been targeting the Hezbollah leaders in Lebanon, and this is one of the attacks that led to the assassination of a person that Israel had a long revenge against him and a long vengeance because he contributed in resisting Israel for more than two decades.
So, Mr. Salem, it becomes a bit confusing, doesn't it? Because in Syria, Hezbollah is specifically, of course, fighting terrorists. To what benefit is it for Israel to A, interfere in Syria, and B, kill a Hezbollah commander who is fighting terrorism?
Well, actually, if you look at the priorities of Israel regarding its neighbors, Hezbollah comes first. And if you look at the ones who kicked Israel out of Lebanon after like 20 years of resistance, it was Hezbollah. So for the Israelis, Hezbollah is much greater threat than anybody else. And Israel recognizes that there are very skilled people among Hezbollah who has been very successful in the resistance against Israel. One of them was Mustafa Badreddin. So it was a greater priority for Israel to eliminate him than to allow him to fight other terrorists. In the whole context, Israel is taking advantage of the situation in Syria and trying to outstretch its arms into Syria, trying to get to hit inside the Syrian capital. And this is something that is most alarming because Israel wants to take not only Golan, but the whole of Syria, if possible. And in order to take that, they have to get as much as possible of the leaders of Hezbollah out of the picture in order to control the whole region. So Hezbollah is a much greater threat for Israel till now and has always been for the last two decades. Even Hamas comes next and others come next. So that's why he was a big priority. And you will find Israel totally celebrating his assassination as if this is one of the successes of the government of Netanyahu, even if it does not admit doing this.
Okay, so let's talk in more detail then about the Israeli role in Syria, if we may, Mr. Salem, because, you know, we've seen, of course, Israel's involvement through airstrikes in that country ever since even the crisis there began, medical treatment that it provides to foreign-backed militants in camps that it's set up in the Golan Heights. How do you assess that role? I know you've already spoken about some of it, but certainly it's been quite heavily involved if we add it all up.
Well, actually, Syria is greater in space than Lebanon. And Syria for Israel has been mostly a target. It has been hosting the Palestinian resistance for also two decades. So Israel could not play on the Syrian territory or on the Syrian front over the last two, three, or four decades. Israel took more advantage of Lebanon because it was fragile under the civil war. That's why Israel stepped into Lebanon in 1982. That's why Israel occupied part of Lebanon. It even managed to structure its own Lebanese pro-Israel militias under Lahoud, under Saad Haddad. So because of that, and because of this strategy in Lebanon, Syria was not still a possible target. But with the situation in Syria now and the conflict in Syria now, Syria became more of a possible target. Netanyahu knows that he cannot achieve anything in Lebanon, and it's difficult to achieve anything in Gaza, especially that he hit Gaza in 2014. So he is putting more of a weight over the strategy of Israel in Syria, showing the Israeli cabinet in Golan Heights with a political manifestation of presence of Israel on Syrian territories. Now there is more military presence of Israel on the Syrian territory. So Israel has been calculating when to take parts of Syria or when to interfere in Syria, when to abuse the fragility of the Syrian situation. Now it is taking steps into that. And this is not the first step, because Mughniyeh and Kintar and Badreddin were three successive steps. And that's why the Israeli agenda is now explicit, even if it does not recognize killing Badreddin.
Okay, so Mr. Salem, you know, of recent, when we look at this campaign, and this has been waged by Arab dictatorships themselves to belittle and limit Hezbollah and, you know, declare it a terrorist group, et cetera, et cetera. In that context of the fact that Hezbollah is being sidelined even now by the Arab world to an extent, what kind of a dynamic do you think that played in the fact that Mustafa Badreddin was assassinated? Is that an important role in this situation?
Well, yeah, in fact, there is a new whole structure of alliances that is happening in the region. There is a strong alliance between the Gulf states and Israel. On top of this is Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia declaring Hezbollah as a terrorist organization. The Arab League took that step and tried to take another step back. So the idea is like the Arab world is sort of, the leaders of the Arab world sort of siding with Israel in labeling Hezbollah as the greatest threat and the greatest barrel in the region. And doing this gives Israel more leverage to move against Hezbollah, gives Israel more regional support, Arab support, to attack Hezbollah, and gives Israel a possibility to pursue the agenda that was not pursued earlier because of certain obstacles and a wall of resistance that was there. And other than that, Israel has been targeting the idea of expanding in wherever possible at the least cost. So try to expand in Gaza, try to expand in South Lebanon, and now it is time to expand in Syria, assuming that this is the least costly front for Israel to expand. And of course, for Israel, Hezbollah is like the greatest threat, as well as the Iranian presence in the region as the greatest threat. The Israeli statements and the Israeli political activity has always been against Hezbollah and Iran, feeling the threat from that side and feeling that it can ally others from the Arab side, from the region, against that threat, which is also propagated in Israel as a threat to the Arabs and a threat to the region. So it is an agenda that is being unfolded over the time, and Israel is now exercising the military part of that agenda. But the political agenda is there, the ideological agenda is there, and Hezbollah is a much higher priority of threat to Israel, according to the Israeli military belief and political belief in all factions in Israel, left and right, Likud and Labor. Everybody is fearing Iran and Hezbollah.
Okay, so Mr. Salem, you know, you've explained why Israel would want to go after Hezbollah, why it's a priority for Israel to do that. But then why would the Arabs want to do that? For all intents and purposes, for all the years that it's existed, Hezbollah has protected Arab rights, be it in Palestine and now in Syria. So why would the Arabs go along with this Israeli plan?
Because most of the Arab leaders are very much allied with the West and very much connected with the West and very much feeling that the West is the one that is putting them on their chairs and thrones. And because of that, they would do whatever pleases the West and pleases Israel in the region as the spearhead of the West in order to remain in power and in order to remain in control of the wealth of their nations, and because they are not willing to join the resistance. They have never did that. I mean, all the region except Syria, Lebanon, and Gaza, not all of Palestine, was willing to resist Israel, but the idea of resisting Israel or supporting the resistance has been canceled from the agenda of many Arab leaders, has been canceled from the agenda of the Arab League. And that's why these people believe that the supporting Israel and helping Israel to eliminate its enemies is a priority. And they don't think that there is any other way than siding with Israel explicitly and going more steps ahead than even what Israel dreams of in order to serve Israel, to stabilize their thrones and chairs, because they believe that if not for the Israeli consent and the Western blessing, they wouldn't be in their chairs anymore, because they never sided with the resistance. The resistance gives legitimacy to any Arab ruler in power, and those who don't believe in legitimizing themselves by supporting the resistance will take the legitimacy from Israel and the United States.
Okay, so Mr. Salem, you know, many people say that for Israel, it's to Israel's benefit when the region is destabilized, especially the regions surrounding it. So aren't the Arab leaders, in a sense, playing with fire, because tomorrow they too, then their countries too could be destabilized?
Well, they know that the stability of their chairs and thrones, the stability of their rule, the stability of the iron fist over their people, and even silencing the ones who might support the resistance, the ones who might support the Palestinian cause or even raise the Palestinian flag, is the way. So stability for them is different from stability in the norm of human beings in a civic, democratic country. Stability for them is stability of their interests and stability of their stronghold over their people. But destabilizing the region is not their concern. If Israel is stable, this is stability for them. And if the whole thing is destabilized, it wouldn't matter. They could destabilize each other's situation. They could destabilize each other's societies. But they care for the stability of Israel and then the stability of their own. And that's why the idea of Israel destabilizing the region and creating a chaos is even served by this notion of stability that is served by the Arab leaders, especially the Gulf. So in that case, the agenda is getting more and more clear. And the idea of stability should come from the street, from the people. Now the voices that support resistance are silenced all over the Arab world because of the stronger grip against freedom of expression. So in that case, you cannot speak about stability. Silencing people and tying them up or cutting their tongues is not stability. This is playing with fire. This will lead to igniting the whole region. If this happens, none of those leaders will remain in power.
Okay, so let's go back to this Israeli policy that Mr. Salem, of assassinating all those who are connected to resistance movements, be it Hezbollah or, as you had mentioned earlier, Hamas and others. How do you assess the success or lack of such a policy? Because Sayyid Nasrallah just a number of days ago, in fact, said that whatever pain we may suffer, we will continue our resistance, our stand will remain steadfast and will only grow.
Well, actually, this is exactly the fact, because assassinating Ahmed Yassin led to the rise of others. Assassinating Rantisi led to the rise of others who are more adamant to go for resistance. Assassinating Mousawi was also more stabilizing and more solidifying the elements of Hezbollah pro-resistance. When a leader is killed, thousands of leaders come next, and Israel never learns that lesson. And by doing that, it is taking more steps towards its end. It's taking more steps towards spreading the word of resistance everywhere. Only the ones who believe in God, who believe in morals, who believe in principles will say, we want to take the same path of those martyrs. But the ones who are frightened, the ones who are traitors, the ones who can sell the cause altogether are the ones who could be deterred. And the people in the Arab world cannot be deterred. They have known the path of resistance. They will continue with it, no matter how many people are killed, no matter how many martyrs are served. But the liberation itself is the gain. Lebanon has been liberated, and Gaza has been liberated, And Israel, when it got inside Lebanon in 1982, thought it would stay there forever. It didn't. Even assassinating leaders of Palestinian resistance before Hamas from Fatah led to the rise of others. And that's why Israel, by killing those leaders, is breeding more hatred and breeding more leaders adamant to continue the path of resistance. Because resistance leads to liberation. Or else, what is the value of life if we would be intimidated by these killings of a terrorist state terrorism led by Israel?
Okay, so Mr. Salem, let's look at the macro issue here, if we may. You know, the West entered into a war on terror a number of years ago, and in that path, it seems Hezbollah would be a partner in that because it is fighting terrorism in Syria. But the West is always criticizing and belittling Hezbollah's successes in that regard. Its successes, of course, against Daesh and other militant groups. Why is the West against Hezbollah if Hezbollah is doing exactly what the West claims it is doing in Syria?
Because Hezbollah has always been listed in the West as a terrorist organization. Hezbollah has been chased everywhere in the world by the West. Hezbollah has been seen as the threat to Israel. And if Hezbollah is fighting the terrorists, but this is not the agenda of the West. The agenda of the West is to get those existing regimes to fight for their own survival and to fight to suppress and to fight those extremist ideas and extremist people. So if Hezbollah is doing that, it is not recognized by the West, because also the same prioritization happens, because Hezbollah has always been listed as a terrorist organization. It has never been recognized as a partner in anything for the West. It has never been invited for any motion for peace or something like that. The West has always been labeling Hezbollah as the greater devil, if you say, and one of the elements of the Rouge states or the axis of evil. As well as Iran. So in that case, the West would never consider Hezbollah as a partner, because disarming Hezbollah has been the case in Lebanon for more than a decade. And the idea was, if Hezbollah is disarmed, it could be recognized because it will not be a resistance anymore. So as long as Hezbollah would not be disarmed, as long as Hezbollah would not change course regarding resistance, as well as Hezbollah would remain the guardian of resistance in the region, it would never be a partner to the West. Partnership with the West has a certain criteria which would never apply to Hezbollah.
Okay, we'll leave it there at that point, Mr. Salem, but of course we do sincerely appreciate you joining us for this edition of the debate and this in-depth discussion that we've had. That was Mr. Hazem Salem, Egyptian activist, who had been joining us live from Cairo. We were also meant to be joined by Ms. Maxine Dover, who is a journalist and political commentator. She was meant to come into our studios in New York, but for whatever reason, she was not able to make it. We do pray that, of course, she is okay and that we will see her in the near future here on Press TV's debate coming up soon. We'll leave it there at that, but of course we do appreciate you, viewers, joining us for this edition of the debate. Until next time, good night.